Well, we see God walk with his own people. There are two important things that were very important in the covenant he made with his own people. First, we see that it was very important that God is worshipped and he is present. And so the cultic system was very important. And that is why you have the temple, you have all the provisions in the law of Moses for how these people should can walk with their God. So that was so close to God's heart. And on the other hand, also he is a God who also was protecting his own people, and so he was putting them into places where they are protected also from their neighbors. And we have seen in last week how the temple was prepared, the Holy of Holies, the holy place, and the priest and the high priest, and how people were coming to worship and to bring their sacrifices to God. Well, now in chapter 7, what we have that Don read to us, we have a description of the building of the house, the palace for the king. We see the king building his palace. So here I say it. Well, Solomon got he got his order right. You see, he first built the temple. He first built the worship place, the tent of meetings. He knew that, he recognized that their greatest need as God's people was to have this God and the God they worship really. Is to make sure that he is worshipped and he is present with them, and that he is still ruling, even though his people, they ask for a king, but he never ceased to be their king. You see, the people really needed this, so they need to keep a close relationship with their God and worship. And so, how important is that? God to be at the center of their lives in terms of their soul, looked after by their God, and not because when the soul is not captured by God, I can guarantee to you that the soul will wander after the things of this world, and the things of this world, they come with burden, with demons, with Satan, and with crushing things. But there is freedom in putting your own trust in God. That is why you have in the Proverbs like, trust the Lord always and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him. You see, so this man, he got it right. So for 11 years, he built the temple. And it took a little while for him to finish his palace. And I didn't check whether he did those two things concurrently. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Or he did the 11 years and then 13 years and doing that. Well, we may not need to know that, but what we need to know is that these buildings were completed. And you see the text always will say this, that the building is completed. As God is completing all his plans. You see, it's just incredible how God will just do things and just remind us of the fact that things have been completed. We read in chapter 6, verse 14, so Solomon built the temple and completed it. You see, that was the beginning of the section that I started preaching from last week. And then again today, to declare to us that the palace has been built also. Verse 1 of chapter 7 says, it took Solomon 13 years, however, to complete the construction of his palace. So this God is God who helps his own people build the very things that really were very important. First, you see the temple, as I said, is a place of worship. How about the palace? Is it very important for the king to build the palace? Was it important? Well, let me say this first, a very short sentence that I wrote down. I don't want us to miss this. really the spiritual well-being of the people of God was very important for their livelihood. And we need to remember that they live among powerful nations, and therefore they need God's protection in order for God to protect them against their enemies. They have to please Him by worshiping Him always and coming to Him. So that is why the temple was built. And then now, as I said, is there any need for the palace? Solomon built the palace for himself as the king. But the most significant thing about this palace was this verse 7. Verse 7 is the most important things we need to take from this place tonight. Then the Bible, we were given a description. I hope you followed on when he read it. So again, the materials were used there were very important, very precious, and cedar, very expensive wood from Lebanon. It's called cedar, arist in Arabic. So now we are told that he built the throne hall, the hall of justice, where he was to judge, and he covered it with cedar from floor to ceiling. Well, this man, he built a palace. He built a palace, and this palace has a hall of justice, and there is a throne, the hall where he was to judge. That is verse 7. He was to judge. So Solomon, being the judge, is one of the main or the chief role of a king, or function of a king, to maintain justice among God's people and to observe that justice and govern the people of God and to judge and to govern. Actually, that the same word in Hebrew, shafut, to govern, to judge. So these are really important words. And Solomon here is straight away from just emerging from worshiping God, also the civil life of the people of God. He has to also function as a judge. And we need to know he assumed it already, these functions, back in chapter 3, when he judged between the two women. And the two women who came with a one boy that they were claiming to, each was claiming to be her own, the other one having killed her own son. And we saw the wisdom of God in judgment. And so, in Solomon's judgment. So that is why he was asking for discernment and wisdom for his heart to discern so that he can govern the people of Israel. That was in 3:9. So this is very important. And it was really extremely important for him to judge and rule in accordance with the will of God. That was what David said back in chapter 2, verse 3, that his son will govern. So that was very important, and because we read in the scriptures that the Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. So even God is the throne. That is Psalm 9, verse 7. So this God is God of justice. He's God who judges his own people. And now, even though the kingship is changed in certain ways, we have human kings, but again, God wants these kings to rule in the light of his faithfulness, his justice. And you need to remember that in Isaiah 11, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is Spirit of wisdom. That is why Solomon asked for wisdom from God, and that is why I say here, let us observe Solomon. So Solomon now is the king, and he's ruling, and he provided this palace, the throne, and he got the hall of justice, where many people will come, and then he will judge them. So now let us see the connections. So I thought Solomon now here, even though he's a king, but there was a great need for the true king. There was a great need. People were longing for the king. And I could see Solomon for the first time as a type of Jesus, isn't it? In a way that he is trying to judge according to God and his just judgment to be true and to bring really relief for God's people and to bring confidence that God is with them. As he raised a king of according to his own plans, because you remember that there was like a rivalry. Some people were wanting to be king. You see, the king's son, and even Absalom tried, but God had Solomon in his heart to come to be the king. So now it was very important that God's people, they are judged in a way that they will go away with confidence in the king that is ruling over them, the king of Israel, Solomon. And so you need to remember, even though he's a frail man, but these people were under God. They were worshippers. There are people who come to the holy place. They come and they look to the high priest and to a high priest to bring their offering before God. And now they have the high priest. They have the king himself. The king now also trying to seek wisdom and discernment from God for God's people. And so we are the same. God's people in the Old Testament, the history of the Old Testament people is our history. This is not my statement. That was Professor Alan Harmon saying that the history of Old Testament people is our history. You see, when we read about them, we imagine that we are part of this great movement of God. People having God over them. What a privilege. There were no other nations among all the nations that had a God like God of Israel, isn't it? And you need to remember that God said, oh, you are not powerful. I didn't choose you because you are powerful. You were the weakest. You were the weakest, even a smaller number. There were other powerful nations. But he shows them maybe there was wisdom in terms that they may not rely on their own strength. They may not boast in their own strength, but they may boast in God who protect them. And you see, even Daniel brought that out clearly, how powerful God is. In maybe 437, if I could remember from the memory, 437, Nebuchadnezzar saying this, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble." See, so here, this man that couldn't lose his sight, that he had to provide that. How do we call it here in our modern worlds? Justice and judgments, and you see that in the courts, and they are not perfect. Well, let me move quickly to see what do we have here in terms of Jesus and Solomon. How do we see the Solomon being like a type of Jesus? You see, all God's people, the leaders that God have raised, they will have one thing in common, would want to hear God and would want to reveal God's hearts in matters pertaining to life and even to worship. That is why Solomon had to build the temple to worship, and also making sure that there is court and there is proper justice. And Jesus saying, I am the fulfillment. I am the one the Old Testament we're looking to. The true king, and to combine all the titles, being the most high priest, being the king, the true kings, and being the prophet. And speaking God's heart and minds, every word from heaven, Jesus was able to speak. The prophets of the Old Testament, they were accessing that. But Jesus said that he is the ultimate prophet, you see, and combining all these things. So Jesus is is the King of Kings, and also he is the judge, the ultimate judge of for his own people. Let us see what he said about his him being the judge, being the true judge. Chapter 5 of John, he says this. And also chapter 8, verse 16. Let me begin with 8:16. In 8:16, Jesus declares that because he interacted with the high priest, and they were really questioning who he was, and so in their questions they, because Jesus claimed that he was the light of the world, and if people follow him, will not walk in darkness. And then they challenge Jesus. They say, "Are you here? Are you appearing as your own witness? Your testimony is not valid." And then Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standard. You judge by human standard." And that was the thing Solomon was trying to avoid, because he asked God to give him discerning heart that he might really judge according to God's heart, because the people were powerful and numerous, and so he didn't have a wisdom of his own. He's only a lad, that was what he said, and then give me. And now Jesus is saying, people have tendency to judge according to the flesh. So he said, even if I have to judge, because he said, "You judge by human standards." Actually, other translation, "You judge according to the flesh." But he says, "But I'm not passing judgment in this context. But even if I do judge, my judgments or my decision are right, because I am not alone. I come from God. My judgment will be right. I am the true judge. And whenever I bring judgment, it is right." So how can we connect this to ourselves? So we have seen God and we see Jesus in this. Jesus claiming and taking over the throne, which is true. He is our ultimate king. And he's our ultimate judge. So we see here that Jesus being judging truly, right, and justly, so his own people are secure. His own people are secure. I'd rather be assessed by Jesus, and when he render judgment, will be a true judgment and a fair judgment. And you need to know all his judgment are not to crush us, but to show us the way out of the troubles, isn't it? Like that was what really Solomon did to the two women, because that was the clear example of how he got things right, and we will see how he goes. And so when Jesus assesses our situations as the true judge, so when he judge even our situations, so is a true assessment of the real state of affairs. And so we can be secure under Jesus, our ultimate judge. And he rules. And I was thinking today of like, has Jesus got a mobile phone that I can access to call him? Or does he have a phone call to call us? Well, I think we know our numbers, isn't it? Jesus knows our numbers, and we know his number. So if we want to talk to him, we go to his word. And you see, and when he want to talk to us, also his word, he say there. He say come, or he say go, you see. Because Jesus is staying with the Father. This Father is the one Solomon is serving now, isn't it? Solomon is the king of Israel, isn't it? And he received wisdom from God of heavens. And remember, who is God? is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is saying, I am not alone, my Father is with me, and I am in communion with him. And all I hear from him, I impart. Therefore, my judgment is true. Who do you want to trust? Today, we want to trust human judgment more than his judgment. It's a dangerous place to be. You better look to Jesus and trust him for every assessment, you see, of yourself or even the situations. And be aware of assessing yourself, because now, even you are obliged not to see yourself according to your own assessment, even. You are the redeemed, you are the alien, and you are the Son of God, and you are the chosen one, and you are heading to heavens, and he is coming back. That is his assessment of you. And so if we sin, he is faithful. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful, and he will deliver us from our sins. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, isn't it? Nor death, nor nakedness, everything. That is Jesus' declarations. That is his judgment. That is his rule over us. He rules us with his word, what he says. He assesses our situation, even if it is bad. And so let us take it as it is, because he's got a way out for us in every trouble. And so that is the work of the court, the judiciary, isn't it? They sort out problems and they judge between people and so forth, isn't it? So administering justice. Well, their justice even is broken, isn't it? There are loopholes in human justice. But the heavenly justice is the best. And we should really think about this carefully. In our life as Christians, let us see things through the eyes of Christ. And let us assess ourselves even through his assessment. And there, we will be free to worship him and to follow him. You see, so that is why this house that he called the house of prayers for all nations will be a place to rush to. So you can imagine it's a temple. You see, and even our homes where we go. Also, this man, he built a palace for himself. So when he got concrete, and so to protect him from things, you see the difference between really his palace, because he recognized that he's a human, you see. So he built it to be fortified, three layers of rocks. So he didn't build the house of God like that. You don't need to protect God, isn't it? You don't need to protect God. But we need him to protect us, and then to give us wisdom on how to be wise in how we build houses. So we build our houses, so even in the patterns of chapter 6 of Luke, you see on a rock, isn't it? When there is torrents and wind and floods, so it doesn't fall on us and we die, isn't it? So we build a little bit strong, so we like that. And you see, and Solomon is just telling us something of that, you see. And then in our houses also, there may not be palaces, but also we are required to really administer justice. How do we live with our other people? People seek wisdom from us sometimes. So let us imagine ourselves that we have a hall of justice and we have thrones where we utter really judgments that are in alignment with God's hearts and God's mind and God's justice. And so in this text today, humble, I bring to you this emphasis of Jesus being our ultimate judge, not Solomon, but it was provisional, and yet he took it seriously. You see, so let us look to our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given authority to judge. You see, that is John 5:27. He has been authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. There is no one like him, because he is Jesus, and he is our Lord and our Savior. So let us really trust him. Let us trust him. And as we read King Solomon, and in his role as a king, and we read about him, all that he was like trying to do is to be the man of God that God has raised up for his own people. You need to know that these kings also, they knew that they were given a privilege, isn't it? Even though they may go against that, that is why the assessment of them that always is that this king did evil in the sight of God. You see, so they were meant to do what is right for the sight of God. I can't wait to see Josiah, what he was doing and other kings like Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah, those men of God. And so we can really also, in a sense, imitate the good one and also learn from the mistakes of others. So for now, maybe we are still all right with King Solomon until he will get into his latter days, where he will get all things in a mess. But we need to remember, he is our representative, isn't it? We are like him in every way. Yeah, when we submit to God, we can get things right. If we rebel, we are not in heaven yet. But let us keep trusting God. Let us pray.